It's Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
Welcome.
Some of the fans cheering when he went down.
Trash. So trash. But like I said, we only idolize as superstar athletes, not human beings. It's always about what we can do between those lines.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean,
DeMarcus Cousins saying, you know, no one really cares about us, especially the fans, and it sort of plays to the theme we just got into with the Bob Myers crying press conference and distrust by a lot of athletes and former athletes of team doctors, that there's not a lot of respect for the players and their long-term future. And that's why you see some guys, you know, recently, like Kawhi Leonard, no one could figure out what the hell was going on. Kawhi's like, I'm not playing. I don't trust the Spurs doctors. I've got my own people. Le'Veon Bell, hey, I'm on my last legs with the Steelers. No, I'm not going to let them destroy me. I don't trust them. We had a couple of calls before the break, and they were split. One said, yeah, I don't trust doctors. The other one said, well, I guess we're being ridiculous. He was ripping you, but, you know, I agree with you. And that whole doctor thing, if the doctor said to Kevin Durant, you're good to go, I don't know, is it his job to fight back, to go get a second opinion? But something was going on the last week or so where when you heard reports that they were getting frustrated that he wasn't ready to go, something went wrong behind the scenes. Again, is there a guarantee that he would have stayed healthy had he not played? I don't know. I don't know what the injury was. Was it already torn?
Or
did the doctors really tell him you can't do more damage? That's what Rachel Nichols was reporting last night.
Well, they said before the game there's no minute restriction because there's no concern that he will do further damage.
Okay, well, he did.
Yeah.
So they were wrong on that.
Told. Yeah, and that's what he was told. That's what they were operating under. Now, I think the question becomes, did they say that because the team was putting pressure on the doctors to say that so that they could get him back? Is that what happened? We don't know all those things, but they're certainly worth exploring. And by the way, if that happened, then you kind of understand even more where Myers is coming from of, oh boy, this is not good. And if you want to blame somebody, blame me.
Right.
But you know why he's breaking down, why he's emotional.
In the back, he just realized the crap just hit the fan. This is going to get really ugly.
Yeah.
Jason Smith over on 1340 and 98.9, our sister station, Fox Sports Radio National, said of the press conference, there's no reason to hold this press conference until you know what's really going on. This was a complete PR push by the Warriors. He, I guess, didn't think Myers was real, even in all that sniffling and crying and being all choked up. He said, this is really shameful. Shannon Sharp went nuts this morning. He thought, and I've seen some other people say this, that those were crocodile tears, that wasn't real emotion, that was bullcrap by Bob Myers.
And Bob Myers couldn't even shed real tears. I've heard of dry shampoo, but I've never heard of dry tears. He couldn't even muster a tear because it was reported, Skip, the organization felt that Kevin Durant was not as injured as he said he was, and he wasn't fighting as hard as he needed to get back on the court.
So Shannon heard it too.
Yeah, and I saw all these conspiracies last night that as much crying as Myers was doing, there was never an actual tear. I don't know how everybody cries. I feel like there's people that cry without actual tears. Like, I don't know. I don't want to break it down that far. I've seen
you,
that before.
Wait, you don't?
Not crying, no.
Really?
Like, yeah, crying comes in all different forms. I don't think you can just base it on, you know, was that a cry? And then you also see people, like, there was a debate. Was Steph Curry crying? He was definitely emotional, but was that actual crying when he keeps getting emotional and getting choked up and stopping his sentences? Is that considered crying? I don't know. I don't know. I can't go any more in depth on that. I feel people cry differently.
Wow, mark that down. I can't go any more in depth on that. When has Adam ever said that?
I just believe people have different forms of crying, different ways of crying, just like they do of laughing. Like, I don't think you can always determine if it was a laugh or not. People would laugh differently.
I haven't seen the video, so was he doing like the neck crying, like the like he was trying to hold it in type crying?
It was more like an actor who's not a very good actor who's trying to cry in a sad scene, but they can never actually muster the tears.
Did he bite his fist?
No.
Okay.
There's no fist biting.
Okay. So he didn't go full ham.
Did you learn that in acting school?
No, I learned that from watching like 1930s melodramas.
Okay, why?
A lot of time on my hands.
This guy's a baker.
Yes,
classic film buff.
Former assistant tailor. We're not supposed to talk about that on the air, though.
Wannabe actor. And yes, a clothier.
I don't know why he's not more proud of his tailor days.
Shannon Sharpe, not happy, mad at Bob Myers, mad at the world of sports and going in on these doctors and why they're not to be trusted.
This is why players do not trust team doctors. Because at the end of the day, what are they, Skip? They are team employees. And it's big on their resume. Because if I'm a team doctor and someone wants to bring their child, a son or daughter, if he's good enough to be the doctor for Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, well, he's damn sure good enough to be a doctor for my son or daughter.
Team doctors. Like, yeah. Hey, this is good for business.
But I also don't think, I don't think team doctors are bad doctors. I feel like they do go out and find the best doctors they can. I just feel like they know who pays their check. Like, I think that's, you know, that's part of the issue.
Well, I think that's what he was getting at.
Yeah.
Are they to be trusted?
Yeah.
In the end, the organization wants results. They want players to play. Yet I don't believe Golden State was really sinister behind the scenes. Like, as far as, hey, you know what? We don't care what happens to this guy. We're going for broke. We want to win. Let's throw him on the trash heap. We don't want him back anyway.
Well,
screw it if he goes down. Like, I don't think anyone verbalized that. But maybe there's emails.
Oh, that'd
don't
be
leave a paper trail.
I don't think they did. I'm guessing that they did. If they did something like that, I don't think anybody documented it. But they also, the theory of they don't want him back anyway, that's really not their choice. Which I think is a very interesting part of this whole thing.
Ty is up next on Cofield & Company on Kevin Durant and getting mad at doctors and Shannon Sharpe flipping out. Ty?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. What do you think?
Good. I just got a take on it. If he had three more years on his contract instead of an option next year, would they have sent him out there? I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to you guys and take your opinion on it.
Adam, what do you think? If he had a long contract, do they send him out there?
Yeah, I think it changes things. At least a little bit. But in the end, I don't think that they believed that he was going to tear his Achilles sending him out there. Like, I think if you would have told them before the game, hey, he's going to give you some good minutes. Actually, his contributions today are going to help you win, but he's also going to tear his Achilles. I don't think they send him out there regardless of his contract status. But if you say, hey, there's like a 10 to 20% chance he'll tear his Achilles, but you can put him out there, I think that's when your long-term future starts to weigh into it. And you start to say, all right, well, we have him for three more years. We want to miss a whole season next year when we've got our whole team back. Maybe if he was the only guy under contract and nobody else was under contract, then you don't send him out there because you're like, that's the one guy we can build around. I think it does have an impact on your thinking.
We have massive breaking news coming up in 5 minutes from the NFL, but Sean wants in on KD and the doctors and the conspiracy theories. 364-1100. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. At the end of the day, I kind of blame that all on Durant himself. Realistically, if you don't feel comfortable, you need to tell him. And I think maybe the team played into his insecurities a little bit because we all know Durant's got some of that, and he wanted to be out there as bad as he could. But the reason I kind of put it on Durant is the move that he made that actually took out his Achilles. I mean, he put about as much force onto that Achilles as he could before it actually popped on him. I mean, that move was pretty sick. He tried to do some kind of crossover or something, but then it went on him. He put about as much pressure as he could, I think, on it. He tested a little too much and just kind of put it all on himself. And real quick, Steve,
let's break in for a second. Do you think about the doctors.
Wasn't it a couple years ago, didn't the Yankees team doctors tell Alex Rodriguez he was fine to play and it turned out he had a fractured hip? So if he would have went out and played on a fractured hip, he took that extra year off. I'm not sure about that, but I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Actually,
thanks.
He couldn't hear us. Was Sean actually suggesting that Durant needed to go out and know the moves that he could make and couldn't make?
Well, I think...
Like, seriously, don't drive hard off the right leg.
I think it's what he's suggesting.
Can you play a game like that?
It sounds crazy. However, I wish I remembered. There was somebody before the game yesterday that said he should go out there and just be a standstill shooter. Like, that's all he can do. And don't try to do too much. I heard that, and like then it doesn't really register, and you don't really think about it.
Wow.
But also, like,
it's Durant's fault. I know. He tried to test it too much.
You can go out there and dribble right, no crossovers, no jab step.
Yeah, nothing quick. Don't drive off the right leg.
Yeah, just kind of go one way. Don't change directions. Once you go one way, don't stop.
Wow.
I mean, I guess maybe that's what you're thinking.
That's hindsight. Yeah,
that's definitely hindsight.
Tim is up on Cofield and Company. Tim.
Hey guys, I can't believe we're actually having this conversation. I think you guys are a bunch of idiots, to be honest with you. This is the same guy that said, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" Kevin Durant made that decision to go out there and do that. He obviously wasn't ready. If the series was 2-2, he wouldn't have been out there. They were in a desperate situation. The guy went out there and made some threes, and now he's done for the season and possibly next year. That's on him. He decided to do that. You can say everything you want about the doctors, but bottom line is, if it was 2-2 series, that guy would not have been on the court. They were waiting for this, and that's what it is. So, I love you guys, but you guys are dumbasses. Bye.
All right.
Jared likes it.
I think it's worth a discussion. I don't know that the decision was 100% Kevin Durant's. You know what's weird here? How did this just flip from a narrative last night that, hey, that was heroic, go out on your shield, to somehow Kevin Durant is a jerk for coming back at 3-1. I tell you, I read certain things and I hear certain things in people's voices when they talk about the NBA, and I find it really weird. And you and I saw this last week, right? Jeremy Roenick tweets out this congratulatory, Chara's playing with a broken jaw because it's the cup. Take note, NBA players. Last night, a guy shredded his Achilles. Another guy's playing with a broken clavicle, and he's going to come back again. Looney's going to play again. But yeah, take note, NBA players. You're not as tough as the NHL players. But we just had a caller say, Durant. That was, what, hubris? That's his fault.
Also, we're dumb for talking about it.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. All right, breaking news, NFL. I don't look at it as great news for Vegas, though.
The crew over at Finley Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today. Live from the Finley Toyota studios, Cofield and Company is back.
All right, we go away from the NBA Finals for just a couple of minutes. Last night was crazy with Kevin Durant going down, the Warriors with an epic comeback, collapsed by the Raptors. The postgame was wacky with Bob Myers. We had callers all over the place, some saying that there is a conspiracy. Doctors are not to be trusted. Others, like our last caller, said it's Kevin Durant's fault. So he's the one who wanted to come back. There were some 2-2-3-1 scenario that I kind of got lost on, and then we were called morons for talking about it. It is the talk of the sports world. People are really angry over what happened to Kevin Durant. We'll get back to it in the 5 o'clock hour. Hard Knocks, NFL, HBO show. Did the NFL announce it, or did the Raiders sort of leak it out there?
A couple reporters were kind of putting it out there around 3:55, 3:50. Okay. The Raiders, I got their official email around 4 o'clock. That they will be on Hard Knocks. I know a lot of speculation about the Lions the last couple of weeks, especially the last couple of days, started to heat up. I actually had a Lions Hard Knocks search column on my tweet deck.
Why were the Lions the hot name last couple of days?
Well, it sounded like the Raiders had really, really begged their way out of it. And there was only like six teams that could say no. And the Lions, for whatever reason, a lot of people started to speculate, and it was kind of leaked out. The Lions said that they had never talked about it. HBO said that they had never talked to the Lions about it, but people were going with it anyway. So I was seeing a tweet like every 2 or 3 minutes, somebody about Lions, Hard Knocks, and everything else, but proved it was false.
The eligible teams are Raiders, Redskins, Lions, Niners, Giants. I think the Raiders show will be fascinating, but the NFL and HBO completely blew it.
Yeah.
How do you not have the Raiders on Hard Knocks the year they're moving and feature Vegas? That is so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, the only things I can think of, like, certainly there's no doubt the Raiders were the choice this year. They were far and away the best choice. Now, the problem is, as you said, I think they would have rather done next year. The Raiders certainly would have rather done next year. They said as much publicly. Hard Knocks probably wanted next year. The problem is, how much of a drop-off do you take to go do another team this year? And, by the way, say the Raiders make the playoffs, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it does, and they're like, yeah, we're out. We're not on the show. Because if you make the playoffs, you can say no. Or
that's a good point. So they'd miss out on perfect. They could definitely miss out on Incognito either way, if they win or lose, because he may be on a one-year deal. AB, Gruden, Mayock, Derek Carr. Who else did I miss? It's obviously drama-filled. I think I named everybody.
You got most of them.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they want these storylines. And, like, especially with Incognito. Like I said, I was at Raiders camp the day that he signed. And immediately, everybody was like, okay, this team's definitely on Hard Knocks now. Like, how could you not be? That guy with that personality and with Vontaze Burfict and AB hating each other and somehow trying to play together and learn a new team, blending them together.
No, I get it. They're one of the most attractive teams, but next year would have been better. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. And Vegas and the new stadium and the move would have been freaking awesome.
Do it 2 years
now,
in a row.
Now, is this... Because I was just thinking, how about actually apply what you always apply, NFL, but especially media. Not that the media got to choose this. How about some East Coast bias here? The Giants can never be on the show. In this case, they could. Why not just go for the ratings? You'd get big ratings because all the morons who are Giants fans and all the media outlets in New York would have covered it big time. You'd get numbers.
Not what you would get with the Raiders.
Stick it to the Giants. Why do the Giants get protected every year in these scenarios?
Eli Manning
Screw
is boring.
Off.
You want Eli as a television
Daniel
character?
Jones. He's got like a little clone. He's actually bigger than him.
He's the same person.
Barkley likes to talk a lot. There's got to be some receivers ready to step up. Be drama now that Beckham is gone.
Well, first of all,
I want to learn about the Giants.
I don't think you understand producing a television
show. Will Hernandez. Vegas
our guy. I mean, it's
the New York market. They stink.
It just doesn't compare to the Raiders storyline was far and away the best story. Now, they certainly didn't want to be on, as we said. We didn't want them on because we want them on next year. There's a lot of reasons to have them on next year instead of this year, but there's just more reasons to have them on right now. Like, put this freak show on television. How do you know? This is this, like, if you had reality, if you had reality show producers coming in to like set up a TV, like the producers of the Kardashians or, you know, whatever reality show you want to talk about, if they're like, hey, we're going to come in and we're going to cast a show, they would sign the Raiders team. They would be the same as Mike Mayock. They basically constructed a reality show on a football field. Like, they're perfect for the show.
I get it. All right. I get it.
But Mark Davis,
I'm selfish about Vegas. I also know in every one of these Hard Knocks episodes, they're going to have some training camp radio show or in studio talking about the hopes of the team. It wouldn't have been us. It probably would have been Tyler and Jared with his dumb laugh in the background.
Probably.
Would have embarrassed himself on Hard Knocks. That would have been great for the station. We deserve it. The radio stations in the Bay Area don't even cover the Raiders anymore. The game was their station. They bailed.
Now,
by the way, JT the Brick would probably get all of this, so I'm just... It's a pipe dream, but you got my point. It would have been glory for the Lotus Broadcasting Corporation. Whatever you're saying is very important.
Yeah, they will show people asking questions, like beat writers, perhaps. Yeah, of course. Like, maybe they'll have beat writers asking, like, very pertinent questions to players, and maybe they'll be featured on the show.
It's not going to be you.
I don't think we know.
You barely ask questions, unless it's a small group. Are you going to amp it up?
Play to the cameras? Should I? Should I have...
You are sneaky. This is why you're backing this, isn't it? I hadn't even thought of this. Because now you're on the Raiders beat, and you're going to be covering them in August. You'll be out of town a bunch.
I'll be at training camp.
Yeah.
Starting at the end of July.
God almighty.
Should we have listeners send in questions for me to ask to try to get on the show?
You against Incognito.
It's going to be some good battles.
Like some really probing questions about the Bills. Like, do you really think you were an all-pro player in 2017? I don't.
Yeah, I was watching the film. You were the 18th best guard. Why were you in the Pro Bowl? And how do you think after taking a year off you can come start again? That's ridiculous.
That tone is never used by Adam Hill. But for Hard Knocks?
Wait a minute. Golden Knights press conferences.
Okay, you did. You did amp it up. You brought it.
Yes, because that was covered. That was my beat. I was covering it. That's the same as it'll be for the Raiders.
Could you actually produce a none of your business again, like Gallant dropped on you?
I think so.
Truly, who would you be the most afraid of if they decided to get physical?
Incognito, one.
Okay.
Perfect, two.
Okay.
Man.
I love how you're like, I'm going to go for the guys who seem unstable or have reputations. Are you comfortable asking really tough questions like a smartass around, say, like Trent Brown, who is 6'10", 450?
No, I will say I did not ask any questions in my first availability with Trent Brown.
No?
He also wasn't saying anything.
You're kind of sizing him up. You're like, okay, what can I do here without getting squashed?
He was not like saying anything at all. Every answer was like two words of just nothing. He's not listening, right?
Adam's smart because he'll lay back. He'll learn some of the weird nuances of the dude.
Yeah.
And then spring something ridiculous on him.
That is true. Like, when I challenged Mark Stone on not crying during This Is Us.
He hasn't really talked to you since, has he?
No. It's been it's been an ongoing thing. Did you get through it, by the way?
I did not. But I'm like two-thirds through. I've probably leaked four times. So he's a machine. They really try to get you.
That's my whole point with him. I was like, the whole point of the show is trying to get people to cry. How are you not crying? What do you think?
You would cry.
Of course.
I know
you
would cry.
What do you think Mark Stone would say if I told him that I cried from Steph Curry's interview last night? He probably wouldn't be happy with me.
He'd just get mad. He wouldn't laugh at
you. He'd be ashamed of me. Like, never talk to me again. I think he already doesn't want me to talk to him again. But that would be the case.
Okay. You know what? You convinced me. I thought I was being selfish by wanting Vegas. But since we do have a part of the show who will be featured around, I don't know if you'll actually get in any shots.
Should I wear?
I think you'll be in the backdrop. You know what? That's the other. You have got to. Because here's my gig at this point. I'm old. I'm fat. I'm bald. I'm kind of boring. So I'm just going to throw on costumes on video. You got to adopt this.
That was what I was going to ask. Should I go with a costume?
Actually, you know what I want you to do? The biggest human being I've ever been around, like height, and really it was size. I did height, height and size, right? Now I just blanked on his name. Who was a gigantic lineman, defensive tackle for the Bills?
Ted Washington?
Yeah, Ted Washington was massive. But the thing that made Ted Washington outstanding, because not only was he like 6'4", and after the season, probably 4'30", right? He also wore the greatest suits ever. Mm. Like, just mind-numbing, like, blowing-out-your-eye suits. If you showed up in some sort of fluorescent-colored suit every day in the heat, you're going to be on there. They're going to be like, who is this oddball?
That sounds like a lot of work.
It'd be messy. You'd be a sweaty pig every day.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
I will say I was the oddball wearing jeans because everybody else seemed to be in shorts at minicamp when I was up there. So I don't know. We'll see. It'll be in Napa. Maybe I'll have a couple glasses of wine before practice.
Is that what you do every day? Have a couple glasses of wine?
Yeah. I mean, when in Rome.
Just have the wine be your thing in all the Q&As. Always a wine question. You're going to get on there eventually. Someone's going to give a good wine answer.
Or I could just bring like a wine glass every day and be sipping wine during the availability. And then that'll be my gimmick.
I think it should be.
I mean,
let's be honest. The guy who has made a complete joke of this, and this is a very deep reference because you have to find him on Twitter and Instagram when he does this. Your guy, Brett Okamoto, is ridiculous. He covers UFC for ESPN. He has like a glamour photographer with him on the road. I almost said a photographist. He has someone doing glamour shots for him. I don't know. The other day he was in Chicago. He's like in front of a lake and he's like sipping something. Like his hair's blowing perfectly. I'm like, what is this?
I think he's listening, by the way.
Good.
He just texted me.
What are you doing, Brett? I mean, kudos. I'm jealous. I don't look like you, but I mean, the pose shots are just I mean, the coffee cup at the courthouse in New York. Whoa. He's always got the glasses. He always has the coffee cup.
Always.
It's his thing.
He got yelled at by the judge in the Conor McGregor hearing.
He did.
Well, actually, the bailiff, because he's sitting there sipping coffee, eating a bagel. Like, it's not a restaurant. Get out. They threw him out.
That was your New York accent?
I was trying. I couldn't remember where
it
was.
It's not a restaurant.
Well, I couldn't remember where I was. I was supposed to be doing New York, and it was, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, he got tossed for drinking the coffee and eating a bagel.
Well, I guess we are excited about Hard Knocks now. So the Raiders, if you missed it, just came down in the last 35 minutes. Raiders will be on Hard Knocks.
I feel like our boy Vic Tafer is going to be the media star.
Really?
Yeah.
It's going to be an intense competition.
Yeah.
Graney has a shot. He's a weirdo. He's got a real good shot.
Yeah, that's true.
And he'll play the gimmick. I don't know what the gimmick will be, but you guys are now in a race to be the gimmick.
I think I'm going for it. I'm going to
go
all
out. Is that
right?
Proclamation?
Yeah, why not?
Made by Adam Hill. He will be gimmick media guy. I hope you do this for whatever it is, 3-4 weeks, and you never get on.
What do you think?
That'll be dynamite.
Just a different fedora every day.
I love it.
Silk suit.
No, you know what?
Listen to Taylor weighing in with the suit.
The suit.
It reads very well.
The suit can be pricey, although I recommend going to Indochino.com. If you can't do that, then I think the fedora... fat guys and fedoras absolutely work. Whitlock has mastered it.
Okay.
That's the move.
Maybe that's the way to go.
I don't know where you're going to find fedoras your size. Like,
I've got one.
Size. You got one?
Yeah. I'll get a couple.
You're
going
to need 25.
I'll add to the collection. I think there's a Monday fedora and a Tuesday fedora and a Wednesday fedora.
Do we have a haberdasher in the Las Vegas market who would like to sponsor Adam Hill's training camp reports with different hats every day?
You have a chance of getting your work on Hard Knocks. Let's put it out there. If it's really good, I'm sure we'll be on there.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company, right here on ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
When are you going on vacation?
July 11th.
Okay. You're going to Mexico.
I am.
I'm heading out of town to Mexico in the next couple of weeks.
Opposite coasts.
Yes, we're not meeting up this time on vacation. Yeah. That was really weird last year.
Yeah.
As we violently threw footballs at a pool and got some MILFs all... They weren't really MILFs. Got them all worked up.
Yeah.
Not the right way.
Yeah, our Cabo vacations overlapped, but I'm going to the other coast this
year. Okay. I had good luck last year when I flew. Good luck last year when I flew. Yeah. I had no problems.
Yeah?
I generally don't have problems. I'm relaxed. If there's any sort of nonsense, it's minimal. I'm seeing a lot more issues now, and I think it's because of social media. I think the issues have always been there. Or are people becoming more combative on both sides, passenger and crew?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like I'm so calm on a flight that I tend to not even notice. Like I have my headphones on in the boarding area. I keep them on as I get on the plane, mm-hmm. and I never take them off. Like I don't really notice what goes.
We talked about kids a couple of weeks ago and how much I dislike kids traveling and I want them all banned.
Yeah.
But you're right, I don't really hear them. I don't pay attention. I put headphones on or I go to sleep and I sleep like an animal and snore really loud, so I'm the guy who bothers everyone else. But it does seem like there's more wackadoos on flights.
Yeah.
At least we're hearing about them more often. Now, I've got a story about a guy being banned for life on Spirit, but it doesn't compare to what you came with today.
No.
Like, this is death-defying moment. Well, what are people doing?
It could have been. So,
do you remember? You remember after 9/11, like, they really ratcheted down. And, like, the security got borderline ridiculous. Like, everyone was afraid to do anything, and the flight attendants were just like a trained militia. Like you do anything. If you joke about the plane going down or, you know, some banned object being on the plane, like, get off!
Right.
No jokes! No jokes, sir! Leave! And I think there's been, like, this backlash now. Like, it's been 18, 19 years... And people were like, you know what? I don't like that. I want to be me on the flight. So what did someone, was this a guy or a woman, go up to the door and try to open the door mid-flight?
It was a guy, but fortunately, it wasn't mid-flight.
Okay.
It was still taxiing on the ground.
Oh, okay, good.
And they wanted to go to the bathroom, apparently, and decided, it was a Manchester, UK flight. They wanted to go to the bathroom. They got up, they saw a door, and they opened it to try to go to the bathroom. Now, the problem is, it wasn't the bathroom, it was the exit door. And they somehow...
But how do you...
I don't know.
How do you open the exit door and not realize it's not the bathroom? The bathroom is, like, click.
Well, maybe you've never...
There's a little lock on the bathroom, isn't it? I guess I should know how to open the airplane door since I'm in the exit row quite often, and I'm like, yeah, I got it. I mean, if anything happens, I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. What? Like, it looks like there's, like, a whole thing to turn and then unlatch and lift.
When I'm in an exit row, I get in trouble because, like I said, I never take my headphones off, and they always come by, like, are you okay with the task? And I just give a thumbs up. And, like, but they're like, sir? And they make me take my headphones off. I'm like, yes, I'm fine with it. In reality, as everyone, no, I'm not. I'm not doing anything. If we crash, it's every man for himself. I'm not helping people get off through this exit door. There's no chance of that happening.
Just warning, Las Vegas. If Adam and I are on a flight and in the exit row on opposite sides, you're all dead.
You might not be dead. The other people in the exit row might help you. I'm not. I don't know
what
I'm doing.
Well, you're on the inside. No one's moving you.
No,
you're a gigantic guy. What, are you going
to
run?
Y'all get out of the way. Let them,
There's nowhere to go.
Do their thing. I'm not helping.
Wouldn't that be great?
Not because I'm not willing to. Yeah, like, I'd help. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep.
You don't want me helping.
You can't be trusted. So a guy opened the door by mistake.
Yes.
Thank God they hadn't taken off.
Yeah, but it was still 7 hours of trying to figure out exactly what went wrong, what happened, how did this happen, why did the guy do this, did he have any ill intent, all of those things. 7 hours the flight got delayed. I would try to kill that person. That's insane.
Do you think... Is there anything that makes people as angry as flying?
No.
Like when things go wrong?
No.
So I'm on Facebook this morning, and I don't know. I think he's a nice guy. He's always been nice to me. He's always, like, sort of docile.
When
he turns it up, obviously he's an unbelievable combatant. We're talking about Randy Couture, a local, right? Always nice. Always, like, soft-spoken, chill. Like, the guy's been through the worst in the ring and, you know, served our country. I just see a picture of him pop up. He's pissed on Facebook, and he goes... Yeah, that's Terminal 2 at JFK in New York behind me. Do not fly Delta Airlines. 2 weeks ago, they stole my ass. Tonight, they closed the gate 10 minutes early and wouldn't let me on the plane. I watched that plane and argued with the gate agent for 20 minutes, which, by the way, if they know who he is, like, you may want to let him on.
Right.
Like, at some point, you know,
I think they...
I don't want to go into a little dirty boxing and get too hardcore with MMA, but Randy Couture gets to get on the plane.
I do think they literally can't open the door. Well, I guess...
Is that right? Really?
I think
by law, you don't mean law. They can't actually
right,
do it.
Right. I think by law, once they close the boarding door, I don't think they can open it again.
Mm.
Or else they have to, like, take everybody off. I don't know how it all works, but I mean, I've seen enough people furious at airports, and like they're like, I don't know what you want me to do. The door's closed, you can't open it again.
Wow.
Usually in these cases, I will say, I'm in airports all the time. I usually side with the airline. I mean, I think they're obnoxious.
Really?
They're obnoxious and they're over, you know, they're over the top with some of the stuff they try to enforce and some of the stuff they try to go at you with. But for the most part, like, if you know, if you understand flying and how airports work and how airplanes work, you have, like, no problems. Like, sure, your flight might get canceled. That's totally different. They might lose a bag every once in a while. Those things happen. It's their fault, but they usually try to find them or fix it or figure it out somehow.
Mr. Couture says they stole my S. Said they, they said they called my name. I say BS. I was sitting right there. I just don't see this guy getting this angry, ever. Said, not flying Delta again, period, and neither should you. Okay.
Well,
Adam
say,
siding with Delta. Just mark that down.
Yeah. Like,
Mr. Couture.
I have missed one flight of my life. I'm very late to the airport. I've missed one flight of my life. It was actually a time when I was about 6 hours early for a flight, and I missed it because I was sitting there doing work at, like, the coffee shop, and... I just kind of lost track of time. It was 15 minutes before the flight, and they closed the door. They had called my name a couple times, but I had headphones on. That's on me. It says usually on the ticket, boarding doors close at... it's usually 15 minutes before the flight. And most people just ignore that. They just go on their own time, do their own thing, They're like, what do you mean it's closed? Well, it says on your ticket it closes 15 minutes before the flight. Yeah, but they never do that. It says on there. So just follow the rules of what it says, and you'll be okay. I'm sure they called his name. I'm sure they were like, we're waiting, because they do it. I'm literally every time I'm at the airport, we're waiting on customer John Smith, Brian Jones. Like, they'll read it out who hasn't boarded the plane yet. And if you choose to ignore it, or you're, you know, running late for it or whatever reason, that's on you. That's not their fault.
Dang. Going at the champ. Okay.
Bring it, Randy.
We'll see if that was a good move. Is banning someone for vaping on the plane too much?
Probably.
Another Spirit incident. A 30-year-old man, St. Pete, Florida, banned from Spirit Airlines for life. Insert your jokes here. We like Spirit Airlines.
I love it.
Those of you who don't are elitist, and you're actually the people I think Adam was addressing.
Yes.
The people who piss and moan and are looking for problems on our giant babies. I don't need to recline. I don't need to be comfortable. I don't need leg room. I don't need food. I need cheap prices.
Get me here to there.
I took a Spirit flight cross country, and a German gentleman slept on my shoulder for 5 hours. And I was like, it was worth it.
see how low
it was? Like $180 round trip to go to Lauderdale from Vegas. I'm like, go ahead, sir, sleep on me. I don't care.
What do I care?
I, you know, as much as I complain about the kiddies, now flying is utopia, because I could just bring something to watch, you know, have a backup battery, and I just watch stuff all night. Or like I said, I'm just obnoxious. I go to sleep and snore like a complete a-hole.
But we've said it before, and you're right. That's kind of what I was addressing in people that hate on how bad Spirit is. And for the most part, it's like, they charged me for my bag. Well, when you made the reservation, didn't it say they would charge you for a bag if you tried to bring it on without saying that you were bringing
it on? It says it all there.
Like, all the rules are there.
Their website sucks, and it's like, you know, it's 20 minutes longer to book a flight. But you do save money if you're paying attention. You don't get ripped. And I'm so gangster. I told you this before. Like, last year, SO and I were coming back from New Orleans, and the flight was expensive on one airline, and I'm like, I'm taking Spirit. And she's like, oh, I hate Spirit. I'm like, well, then you take the other airline, and I'm going by myself. We arrived at the same time.
Brilliant.
You know?
Spirit usually gets there early.
You want that $75 dinner? There you go. Yeah. The money saved on my flight.
Yeah, here. I'll pay for it with flying on the cheaper flight. That's how we roll.
Yes.
I actually have, I said I'm going to Cancun next month. I have a 6-hour layover on Spirit. Don't care, because it's like $100. What does it matter?
It's look fine. How happy he is.
That's great.
What a show today. The emotional roller coaster. He was crying at the beginning of the show. Now he's sky high. Anything to make you happy for the second half of the show. Ion Gaming coming up. We'll get you the latest odds on the Stanley Cup Final. And also, Adam wants to chime in on the Aces. What is going on? I thought this team was an overwhelming favorite to just crush this league.
Stick around. Cofield & Company returns in minutes in the Finley Toyota Studios. It's Cofield & Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
If you sit next to Adam Hill in the exit row, and he's on the outside, and he's in control of the door, yes, you will live. Plus 700?
I think you'll probably live. Not through my doing.
You are willing to get out of the way and let someone else be a good Samaritan?
Sure. Okay. And if somebody was, like, down hurt, like, yeah, I'd try to help them out, but, like, I'm not going to be the one that organizes the whole, all right, guys, we're going this way. Like, no, that's all.
Adam, let me Hulk up and rip the door off.
No.
I'm going to save everybody.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here, let me help you with the oxygen.
Yeah. Go ahead, not me.
And it's not that you're selfish. You're just helpless.
Yeah, I'm going to ruin it. I'll screw it up somehow. I'll pull the door in instead of pushing it out, or I'll throw the slide and I'll drop it, and nobody will be able to slide down. I'm not going to be able to help anybody. What do you want from me? I just like the extra leg room.
Chris says he's a pilot for Spirit. He tweeted at us. He said, longtime listener, thanks for the kind words. Of course.
I'm obsessed with your airline. Yeah,
we're not Spirit bashers, nor are we Southwest bashers. I'm not really a basher of anyone.
No.
But I'm definitely not going to bash the discount airlines, because my standards aren't that high.
Spirit getting Wi-Fi soon, too, which makes me very happy.
Oh, that'll change everything.
Yes.
Very nice. Lewis wanted to chime in. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, guys. Nothing irritates me more than being on these flights and people built like Adam, two people built like Adam, sitting in separate seats, not sitting next to each other. So they can't make, they don't make themselves uncomfortable. Rather, they double the uncomfortableness for other people. And you sit next to these people, it's like you're together and you didn't buy two seats together because they're too big and wide. And they inconvenience everybody. It's like you, Adam. I had the pleasure of sitting next to you on a flight to the Bay Area once. I'm like, buy another seat for God's
sake. Where was
the
flight to?
The Bay Area.
Really? When was that? Yeah. Your name's also not Lewis, dummy.
Yeah. Liar.
I'm trying to figure out what his name is normally. Is it Tom?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Big fella critique. Thanks, Tom. Ha 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 ha. The odds on Bruins and Blues. You have any interest in the dog? Game's tomorrow night. Game 7.
Yeah. The whole series has come down to how Binnington has played. Like, Rask has been just fine throughout the whole series. He's been okay. And he's been steady. And Binnington has been very up and down. When he's been very good, you really can't beat them. And when he's struggled, they've gotten blown out. So I think the entire game comes down to him. Certainly a very difficult situation for a rookie to be in. I don't know how he's going to play. But the Blues have played better on the road throughout the postseason. This has actually been a pretty good road series. Both teams won a couple times away from home. So I'm interested, especially at that number. I'm certainly not going to like run to the window to try to make a play on it. But yeah, I think that there's a case to be made for the underdog in this game.
I would never bet the Blues. Not after what your people did in St. Louis.
My people?
Your brethren. Newspaper folks.
Oh, yeah.
Nice job.
Well, I mean,
all cut from the same cloth.
It certainly wasn't
the anti-local team. Here we go. What the St. Louis Post-Dispatch do?
They gathered a bunch of stuff to run in their special section for the Blues winning the championship, which, by the way, is done everywhere, and it's done by every TV station. Most radio stations, almost every newspaper, you have to gather that stuff because, again, if you're going to put the special section out right after the game, as people want, then you have to have all that stuff pre-done. So they got all the information, they got all their graphics together, and they mistakenly ran several of them before the game started for Game 6, congratulating the Blues on winning. I can assure you it was somebody in the online department or like the ad department that had no idea about sports. And they were like, oh, we're going to run this? Okay, let's preview this and accidentally put it out. They also, which I think is even more egregious, had a letter from a team official congratulating, you know, the city and the franchise on winning the cup. That's bad. But again, that's on the paper for, listen, every paper does it. You ask somebody from the team, hey, write this letter, get it ready so we can publish it right after the game. And I'm sure there's a lot of executives and team officials that are like, no, I don't want to do that. But you have to do it. And in this case, it backfired big time. And so we'll see if eventually it proves that they can use it if they win Game 7. But right now they're underdogs to win a title after being in a position to close things out at home.
Nice job. Ruined it all.
Yeah. I don't know that it had any outcome on the game.
I don't think it did either.
But
it is something that local fans will hold on to.
Oh, if yeah.
That paper, they're not going out of business, but
it's Dewey defeats Truman.
It's not quite that bad.
I think it
not
is.
On that, not on that level.
I think it is. Locally, it's worse.
It's bad. The jinx will be remembered forever.
Yeah.
Big 5 at 5 is on the way. We'll get into Hard Knocks a little more if you didn't hear the announcement. The Raiders are going to be the Hard Knocks team, so we have an interesting discussion about what businesses should go around our new stadium, and a lot more on the Raptors fans' reaction last night when Kevin Durant went down. And now what happens with Durant if it is a ruptured Achilles? What happens on the free agent market? What's the future of Kevin Durant?
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.